The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
Case number 6 from the Blue Cliff Record. Yunmen taught, "I do not ask you about before the 15th of the month. Come, say something about after the 15th. And he himself responded, "Every day is a good day." Yunmen taught, "I do not ask you about before the 15th of the month. Come, say something about after the 15th. And he himself responded, "Every day is a good day." So here we are, together, in the home stretch. A few more days left of Sesshin. And throughout this Sesshin, whether you've been here one day, or all throughout, you've been exposed to some beautiful, incredible, difficult stories, koans. This koan, in particular, stands out in my mind as quite unique. Yunmen says, "Every day is a good day." The typical typical teachings that you hear in Buddhism often center around suffering. The first noble truth: life is dukkha. Life is not quite right. Life is unsatisfactoriness. Life is suffering. Or in the words of Reverend Ray, life sucks. And a lot of teaching is around that. And this one, however, stands out quite unique. Every day is a good day. How odd. How strange. Every day is a good day. What is Yunmen saying here? Especially in regard to our lives, every day is a good day. And then we look around and in the world around us, everywhere, greed, anger, and ignorance, political and social strife, terrible conditions. Every day is a good day. And keep in mind, Yunmen, during this time when he was alive, when he said this, which was between the 9th and 10th century in China, China was experiencing enormous upheaval, social and political. Wars, warring factions, death, disease, horrible conditions. Comparatively, much worse than we have right now. So every day is a good day. You may have heard some koans throughout this sesshin from Yunmen. He's probably one of the most, say, popular, but he has probably, I haven't counted, but several dozen koans throughout all the collections. He's known for his sort of pithy, really straight-to-the-point answers to questions. His koans are short. He responds immediately. He's the one who responded when someone asked, "What is Buddha?" He said, "Dried shit stick." And this koan as well. Only two or three lines. For me, one of the most profound stories of Yunmin was the story of his awakening. You may have heard this one, but I'd like to repeat it for you. When Yunmin was a young student of the way, he had a teacher, Mugyo. And his teacher was an old, cantankerous, grumpy man who gave his students a real hard time, and was known for that. And one day, Yunmin showed up at his teacher's door and knocked on it. And his teacher said, "Who is it?" And Yunmin said, "It's me." And his teacher said, "What do you want?" And Yunmin said, "I have some confusion about my life. I need some direction. I need something." So Mugyo opened the door, looked directly in Yunmin's face, and immediately slammed the door closed. Not quite the reaction you would want from a teacher. And there he was, standing in front of a closed door. Rejected? Maybe. Consider, though, for one moment, what did Yunmin have? What did he have standing there in front of that door? He had exactly what he brought with him. He had exactly what he needed. He had himself. Yunmin wasn't quite ready for that, though. But he still was practicing in earnest, so that the next day he arrived again, knocked on the door. And his teacher said, "Who is it?" "It's me." And so his teacher opened the door again, looked at him, and immediately shut the door. And the next day, Yunmin arrived. Same thing happened. Door slammed in the face. And the fourth day, Yunmin arrived. His teacher opened the door, grabbed him by the shirt and said, "Speak, speak." And just as Yunmin was about to say something, he shoved him away and closed the door. And Yunmin was quick, though. He stuck his foot out to keep the door open. But the door was heavy and was closing fast, and it crushed his foot. And he screamed in pain. And at that moment, he woke up. He woke up to his true self. Now, this isn't quite the way teachers here deal with their students, thankfully. But in many respects, a good teacher will slam the door in your face, metaphorically speaking. You've come for something. You've come for something that you think the teacher has. You come looking for something. And the teacher responds by showing you have everything you need. Bam! Door slam in the face. It's not what we want, not what we generally want to hear. You have everything. But if you have everything, why do you need a teacher? You need a teacher. Yunmin needed a teacher. As cantankerous and horrible as his teacher treated him, he needed a teacher. He needed a teacher to wake up. And you need a teacher. Why? Because you are much too good at bullshitting yourself. And I will stand up front of the line and say, yep, I am grade A bullshit artist when it comes to the matter of myself. What is it that you have? What is it that Yunmin had? Just this. Except we don't see that. We have all these conditions and ideas and concepts about ourselves and others and reality and the way our lives work. And it fogs our vision. It clouds it. What do you have when all that stuff just drops away? Just this eternal moment, right here, and all that's arising in it. Exactly what you have right now. Consider your breath. Now I say your breath, right? But it's breath. The your is extra. My breath. Do you really breathe? Do you? Just stop breathing for a few minutes and see what happens. You'll suddenly be confronted with a great urgency to breathe again. Where does that come from? And if you're really good at it, you may just pass out and you'll start to breathe again. Where do your thoughts come from? Do you think? Really? Try stopping thinking. See how that goes for you. When all the things that we think, that we conceptualize, fall away, what is left? What is remains? And here we have Yunmin. As a teacher now. Teaching before his assembly. He says, I do not ask you about before the 15th of the month. Come say something about after the 15th. And he himself responded, every day is a good day. So a little clarity around what's being said in the first sentence here. He says, I do not ask you about the 15th of the month. At this time in China, the calendars were set around the full moon. So the full moon was the point for the 15th of the month. And the full moon symbolizes awakening. So he's directly saying, I'm not asking you about before awakening. Say something about after awakening. And then he said himself, every day is a good day. Every day is a good day. When I consider something like that, it's it's almost too hard. But with guidance from a good teacher and the teachings, the Buddha Dharma, I decided I think I'm going to stay on the path. This is pointing to something quite profound. This may take your entire life to figure out. Not everyone is ready for something like this. Not everyone is ready for a teaching like this. I personally, when I came upon the path, the way, I think I was ready because I was pretty much ready to throw the shitstorm of my life to the curb. I needed to try something. And something clicked. Now, honestly, you don't have to do this. You will be just fine if you drop the whole thing. All the marketers out there will love it. You can have everything you want just for three easy payments of $99.95. But for me, I saw something, and you may have too. You obviously have, you're here. I saw something that I can't unsee. Every day is a good day. What is that? Can you consider something like that? What would it be like? Every day is a good day. Achy, tired body, a good day. Terrible Dokusan meeting, a good day. Frustration, anger, confusion, a good day. Life falling apart, a good day. Broken heart, a good day. You can't even imagine something like this, but it's enough to ask the question. What remains when everything drops away? All your concepts, all your ideas, your strategies, your habits. What is left? This is not easy. Probably the hardest thing I've ever done. But I sense it's worth it. I sense it's worth it. The promise of every day is a good day. The promise of freedom and salvation, regardless of the conditions that I find myself in. Yunmen taught, I do not ask you about before the 15th of the month. Come, say something about after the 15th. And he himself responded, every day is a good day. Thank you. So now we're going to enter into our Dharma dialogue. We have a recorder here recording this talk, but if you would like to say something that you would rather not get on the recorder, just let me know and I will shut it off.
Can you please make yourselves comfortable?
Ray.
A wonderful talk, Mike. I've been thinking a bit about this koan off and on, and I keep wondering, you know, what was different when he slammed his foot? And this awakening is what we practice every time we sit and open to what arises. And we accept thoughts, feelings, sensations as they arise. And it's our training, at least my training, so that when something happens, I'm ready for it. Hopefully. And if I'm not, well, then I continue training. But when something awful, bad, like unexpected door slam of face, the tendency is to pull back, right? And then feel anger or whatever's at me, or bitterness, blah, blah, complaining. You know, in all the situations, bad ducks are not the sort of master. You know?
Does that what? Pull-
Not you, David.
Talking about Mike.
But there's that pulling away, right? In the practice is to, it's a good day, to open to the experience, to say yes to it, and to be able to, you know, and so my sense is that this prepares us for the big awakening, which is, if he had said, oh, that's stupid, that's, but he opened.
Yeah.
And he received. And that's our training.
Yeah.
Opening and receiving.
Yeah, absolutely. That's well said. I mean, you have to keep in mind, there is no formula for this.
Right.
There is a, there are forms that we hold, and as Melissa David often says, it's awakening is an accent, and these forms make us accent prone.
Right.
But you know, in Christianity, they have this term, the way of the cross, and I kind of like that because it essentially says that the worst thing that could ever happen to you in your life can be your salvation. I've read about a lot of, apparently, there have been a lot of spiritual awakenings that happen on death row. You know, here's an individual who is, the end is near and knows exactly when it is. There's nothing you can do. No escape. Complete terror. Complete, you know, oblivion. Awaken.
And I think, you know, both of you are pointing to something that I think about when I hear this. So we're going to run our bullshit forever until we get kind of sick of it. You know, so there's no strategy here. We can't say, oh, great, I'm going to be prepared for the surprising thing or some terrible thing and I'll be cool. It's not like that, as you know. It's just like... And then, enough already. Right? There's kind of, you know, it's the path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. Like, we encourage being exactly who you are. Fed up, upset, lost, in despair, whatever it is. Until, you know, I think there's a point that many of us reach where we see those patterns, because those are patterns of reactivity. And we see them, and they're not that different. Like, they just keep repeating the same stuff again and again. And we get tired of it. So there's a sort of tiredness that sets in. And then what do we do when we get that? You know, I've been thinking a lot about the story from Zorba the Greek, where he used to be addicted to strawberries, and his friend in the story says, well, how did you stop being addicted to strawberries? He said, I got bushels and bushels and bushels and just ate them and ate them and ate them until I threw up. And then I wasn't so interested in strawberries anymore. So, you know, that we kind of get fed up with our own bullshit I hope that's true for all of us.
Yeah. And appreciating this, what you're saying about we're doing the work on the cushion. We're doing exactly, this is practice and awakening. We aren't practicing so that we won't be surprised. If we're really here, we're surprised again and again. And then we choose. So life meets us. And sometimes it's what we want, sometimes it's what we don't want. But this teaching is that turning toward and staying. So, door slammed in the face. Right? Can you stay there? Can you stay in relationship and see how we blame and we judge? You know, we can judge ourselves. Well, clearly teacher did that because I'm such an idiot and I better, you know, but this courage to stay, to come back day after day. You know, Esther rings that stupid bell up and down the temple. Oh, no, not again. She seems so nice, but she's harassing me. So all of us come back to this, to our cushion. All of us come back. And most of us, I think, get hopeless from time to time. You know, there's no hope for me, but she rang the bell, she'll probably come chase me down, so I'm going to go in the Zendo anyway. And again and again we return. Again and again. And that's all we control. We can't strategize, well, I'm getting tired of my stuff now, so maybe this round. But we come back with our great heart and great courage. And because we run out of options. You know, we've tried running away again and again, and we think, I'm just going to show up. What a courageous and loving thing, without hope.
And you know, I was very touched. I always forget that little part of the story about Yuen Min and his teacher, where the teacher grabs him the fourth time and says, "Speak, speak." That has to happen before the foot gets broken, right? That there has to be that challenge that we make. Come on already, cut it out. That's what you meant by having a teacher. Mm. Yeah. And we can do that very gently. Okay. Ding, ding, ding. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Seth?
I was... have a thought when from the Yuen Min's "It's Me." I don't like that phrase.
You're going to need to speak up a little bit.
Oh, sure. I saw a little woman, or no, you've all been on Sashin, so no one's, well, I don't know, some people have seen it. But it had, you know, kind of time all over the place, different timelines. Very cool, in like a you know, Dogen way of firewood doesn't become ash.
Louder.
Oh, it was very cool in a Dogen way of like the firewood doesn't become ash. Of just anyway, there was this scene right in the middle where one of the main characters, Amy, who later, you know, it's an old book, falls in love with this Lori guy, but it's the first time they meet as kids, and then she's tiny and she looks up and goes, "Hi, I'm Amy." And anyway, I just thought, because in that one, you can see the whole movie in that, just that one scene.
Yeah.
It was just lovely.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Seth. Hi, I'm David.
Or right? Hi, I'm the foot.
Yeah. Yeah, and in Doksan, so I loved what you talk about, no formulas but form. Mm. So every time you come into Doksan, we ask you to present yourself. My name is David, right? Not as, okay, you go for the form and then you start the interview. The interview starts when you walk in the room. You walk in as yourself and you sit down and you settle and then you take your seat. I am David. And in that, everything is presented. I am David. My practice is following the breath. I am Amy. Yeah, wonderful. Thanks.
Jen, did you?
Yeah, so so how do you decide when my doksan is over? Is it my bullshit is too high?
Yeah, you know, there is a meeting, and the Doksan in some ways is not really about teaching, but it's about meeting. Buddha meets Buddha, and then you can wonder why is it ended, you know? And then the mind makes up all of these stories. But I think most important is just when the teacher bows, it's over. And any story you make up is actually not true. Right? So trusting trusting whatever you're left with. So if you're left with, right? Then, you know, really turn toward that. Right? If you're left with, oh, that was really cool. You know, turn toward that. Not right and wrong, not formula. But trusting everything that arises.
Speak. and what David's saying is true. So the way we walk in the door, the way we walk down the hall, the way we close the door, the way we make our bows, there are no two people that I've ever encountered in Doksan who enter the room the same way. It is completely unique, and it's really interesting. So, you know, and to settle, some people just start talking right away, right? That it's so interesting. It's like throwing up all this stuff. And we might come in, there's a misunderstanding that we have to formulate some question, you know, right? We might come in with 57 questions, and whatever we start with, that's the Doksan, right? Whatever we start with, yeah, so amazing. And you know, the last two Doksan periods, David and I did classic short Doksans, pretty much. And that's a wonderful way to meet, I think, for myself. It doesn't dribble. It's like, whatever's important, you start with that. You want to talk about Little Women? That's what we talk about. Yes. It's wonderful. It's
wonderful. No burying the lead.
No burying the lead. Well, and see, the thing is, you cannot bury the lead.
Right.
Everything is visible.
Right.
And we think, I remember my teacher grabbed me once, my first teacher, and it was like, you know, in the corridor, you know how we do that sometimes, you know, to tell you something. He said, "Do you think I can't see you?" And he walked away. And I actually did think that he couldn't see me. Why would he see me? I was a little person, you know, who was just trying to hide in the corners and not be visible. And do you think I can't see you? I remember the next Doksan, I checked it out. We don't talk about what happens in Doksan, of course, but amazing. Amazing moment.
Your question reminded me, from the perspective of a teacher, what we just read, the great doubt, realize that this cannot be handed down and cannot be explained. Rather, it is like knowing for yourself by drinking it, whether water is warm or cold. That wisdom, you know, no formula. Is the water warm or is it cold?
Well, I'm thinking about all the strawberries. And I think, well, I always find that things begin to change in my life and the way I interact with people, my husband, the cat, everything. And it's never done consciously. I never think, okay, this is it. This week I'm gonna pet the cat. I'm gonna love it. I'm gonna make good dinners. journey. I don't take it in the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is so important. Of course, in a sense, we have to, you know, you signed up, you drove here, you're here, you're putting yourself out. But there is this deeper sense we keep talking about of you cannot do this. This is not self-improvement. This is not about willpower. You know, we live in a culture that worships willpower as if it were a very powerful force. And it is not, as we can all attest to. How many resolutions? I will be nice to the cat, right? But if we're present, if we show up, we can begin to notice that things fall away. I believe and have seen again and again that we grow in love and understanding if we do this work, if we face the wall, if we face our life, if we slow down. Just bring ourselves here. The Dharma will teach us. And then we can notice, oh, wow, that's interesting.
That's like, you know, making New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
They're never,
right.
I mean, I think the majority of people who make those, they can't hold on to them. Because,
yeah.
Again, we're trying to improve.
Right.
But
right.
The way to do it is, something, you want to go for a walk? You say yes. Three, four times a week, where you miss it when you don't do it.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you've got a routine.
Yeah.
And we're taking a walk.
Well, and you're putting to another piece of the practice, which is so important, and that's saying yes.
Yeah.
Because most of the time we go, yes.
Yes. Well, maybe on that, saying yes. Say yes to our Zazen posture.